Conspiracy Worldwide Radio, conspiracyblog.net. We're now joined by the author of the novel, which is spurred on one of the most successful Hollywood films, regarding where we are now on the internet, regarding the social network scene. Of course, I'm talking now to Ben Mezrig. Ben Mezrig, welcome to the Friday Night Live show.
Hey, thanks very much for having me.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. Now, I'd be foolish to jump straight in and say, so, they've made a film based on one of your books, Ben. You must be proud. I mean, let's trace back a little bit. This is not the first time this has happened.
No, this is the second time. My book, Bringing Down the House, about the MIT kids who beat Vegas, I think it was called Breaking Vegas in Europe, turned into the movie 21. So this is the second go-round for me, but this one's much bigger.
Yeah, exactly. Now, it seems an obvious and silly question, but I mean, since this film has come out, obviously it's propelled your work, I would imagine. But I mean, have you got more Facebook friends now?
You know, I try and keep my Facebook friends to my actual friends because
right.
I don't want, you know, people I don't know looking at my stuff. But there is a fan page, a Facebook page for the book and for the movie, and those things have a lot of fans now, yeah.
Excellent. Now, one person that wasn't so much a fan, or in the sense of not getting involved, of course, was Mark Zuckerberg himself. From what I heard, he refused to watch the movie, but more importantly, he refused to participate in any way in the making of your book.
Yeah, I spent a year trying to talk to Mark. I would call every other day, and I talked to his people all the time, and he almost talked to me a bunch of times, but in the end, he knew this was a story he didn't want told. And I was talking to people he didn't want me talking to, and so when the book came out, he called it fiction and has not been a fan. So no, he hasn't read it, hasn't seen the movie, or though I've heard that he actually has, but who knows.
Yeah, I should imagine he has. I mean, he seems the sort of person that does absorb so much information. Of course, we're talking Mark Zuckerberg, for those unaware, one of the co-curators and founders of Facebook itself. How did that feel to realize that all this work you've done with the novel would never really be publicly appreciated by the person you base a lot of the story and the novel on?
Well, you know, I think if Mark actually sat down and read the book, he wouldn't hate it, because, you know, he really is a genius. And I think it comes out in both the book and the movie that he's the guy who really made Facebook happen. But there's a lot of people along the way that felt betrayed, that were angry, that felt like they'd been pushed out. And so, you know, those are the other main characters. So, I mean, I think it's a pretty full story. But, you know, it would be nice if he read it. I'd love to hear from him. I don't think he would hate it, but I don't think he ever will.
Well, we'll talk more about that a little bit later. My co-host Menace, who's in the studio at the moment, to pick up on the theme of the book and much more, here he is now. Menace.
Good evening, Ben. How are you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Let me ask you this. We get right into it and talk about the book. To what degree would you say writing a nonfiction book about people who are still alive, and in this case, young people alive today, is a risk? I mean, is that a big responsibility for you?
Well, you know, I mean, you want it to be a fair story. But for me, it really came about because this kid came to me, Eduardo, who was the co-founder of the company, who'd been kicked out, who was Mark's best friend at college. He basically contacted me out of the blue, and we went out for drinks, and he said, I want to tell my story. And he was angry, and he felt betrayed. So, you know, there's a responsibility to all the different characters. And I would have loved it if Mark had actually sat down and talked to me. But, you know, it was his choice. It was his right. And I think in the end, you just have to tell the truth. And people have to sort of live with it. I mean, they had every opportunity to put forward their point of view.
I mean, your book, for the most part, is for most people, this is going to be their impression of these people and these events leading up to Facebook's success. Given it a part of this book, it, you know, is really taking a history in your hands. Are there many legal obligations that you have met when writing this book, a book like this?
Well, I mean, you have to tell the truth. Everything is legally vetted. You know, a lot of lawyers go through it and make sure everything is backed up. In this situation, there were a lot of court documents. I mean, there's thousands of pages of court stuff because everyone was suing everyone, you know, with all these college kids suing each other because they all claimed ownership of Facebook. So, you know,
right.
There was a lot of background to it. But, yeah, you have to be careful with that sort of thing. In terms of these public figures, you know, they're well known, and a lot of these stories are well documented. So, you know, that's the key.
How much does having a moral obligation come into mind when you're writing a story like the Facebook story?
I mean, I think there's always an obligation when you're talking about a true story to tell the truth. But in terms of, like,
yeah.
You know, I think as a writer, your goal essentially is to tell the story, to make it entertaining and to make it true. And those are all kind of things that go into it. So in this situation, I think we did a very fair job. I mean, I think people will see the movie and get a very true portrayal of Mark and of all the other characters. Because the other thing is you have to remember it's all from different points of view. So Eduardo thinks one thing, the Winklevoss twins think another thing. And if you're talking from each point of view, you know, you're going to have a different opinion of what Mark is like. And so, you know, as the author, you have to stay objective and you have to write it from the points of view of the people you're talking to.
Absolutely. A lot of people would argue that your style of writing and how you've written this book is somewhat controversial. I'm sure you've heard a lot yourself in that regard, but have you actually caught much flack since putting this book out over how you wrote the book?
I mean, listen, there's a lot of controversy about my style in terms of, you know, I take all the truth, I interview everyone, I have all the documents, and then I write it like a movie. It's very cinematic, it's written like a thriller, and so there are kind of these old world journalists at certain places that have a real issue with it in terms of, you know, the form of nonfiction that it takes. But I stand by it. You know, with this book in particular, we had Facebook coming out and saying, you know, it's not true, and they called me the Jackie Collins of Silicon Valley and that kind of thing. And I find it amusing. I mean, they say that, and yet they don't point out anything that actually isn't true. No one has had any problems with any of the facts of the book or the movie. It's simply the style that it's done in. So, you know, I think it's just going to be a difference of opinion. Some people will like it, and some people will just say, no, you can't write nonfiction this way. But I think it's a form of nonfiction that's very valid. You know, it fits with this whole new school of journalism, and I think it's cool and it's fun. So, you know, it's going to be controversial, but that's just the way it is.
Speaking of Facebook and the space for Facebook stuff, there was a rumor that the screenplay and movie were both screened for Facebook and some changes were made at their request. I don't suppose you know if the film was altered in any way because of Facebook.
You know, I really don't know. I know Scott Rudin, who was the main producer, was involved back and forth with Facebook. But, you know, he's a really powerful producer and a very smart guy, and I think he did his best to make sure the story stayed on the screen. I think when people read the book and see the movie, they'll see it's a very close adaptation. Aaron Sorkin did a lot of his own research as well, but I think it follows very closely to the story that was told. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know what backroom dealings were going on. I do know that they were approaching Facebook and they were trying to, you know, get Facebook be okay with what it was. But I also know that Mark did not like this story and did not want this story told. So, you know, I can understand it. You know, it's not the story that he wants out there. If it were up to them, the story would never have been told.
Let's talk about what you do know then. I mean, with regards to how you wrote this book, what can you tell us about the process with regards to your access to the characters in the Facebook story? I mean, was there much of a restriction in what they would and wouldn't tell you when you were putting this book together?
Yeah, well, it started with an email out of the blue at 2 a.m. from a kid whose best friend was Eduardo. He said, my friend co-founded Facebook and no one's heard of him. So it started with Eduardo, who, you know, he was this geeky, nerdy kid at college with Mark, and they were, you know, trying to meet girls and they weren't getting into these secret societies, these finals clubs. And eventually Mark created the company and Eduardo put up the money. So in the beginning it was Eduardo, but he was in the midst of a legal battle with Mark. So he was, you know, very nervous when he was talking to me. He was very angry. I mean, at one point he just stopped talking to me altogether. Because essentially it leaked out on the web that I was writing this book, and then Mark and him settled their lawsuit, so Eduardo could never speak to me again. In terms of the other characters, you know, anybody that Mark, you know, worked with Mark wouldn't talk to me. So Mark wouldn't talk to me, and the other people who were actively at Facebook wouldn't. But in terms of all the other people, the people who, you know, are featured in the movie, everyone talked to me. So, you know, there were a lot of sources, and it was actually pretty easy to get people to talk. It was just Mark and his staff that would not talk.
So how'd you determine how much facts should be allowed to get in the way of the truth when you're dealing with facts versus fiction?
Well, I mean, it has to be true. You know, the bottom line is just the facts have to be there, and it has to be an accurate story. In terms of the style of how it's written, I think that there's more creativity involved. There's more leeway. But, you know, for instance, if you interview three people who took place and, you know, who had a conversation 3 years ago, first of all, they're not going to remember it exactly. And second of all, they're going to have three different opinions of what took place. So as a journalist, you have a bunch of choices to make. You know, you can either just say in a sentence, a conversation took place, but there are three different points of view of what it said, or if you want to write it like a scene, you know, a cinematic scene or a movie scene, you know, you write the scene. And so you choose the best pathway between all of your different, you know, interviews. So I choose the latter. I like to make it into a thriller. I like to make it enjoyable and entertaining, and yet still true. So, you know, you have to find the facts. You have to do the hard work. But after that, in terms of how you write it, I think the author has a choice and can put, you know, his own view and his own cinematic flair to it, which is what I do.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm imagining that there's parts and chapters in this book that were more accurate accounts of the Facebook story and how it really happened than other parts of the book. What parts of the book are more so true to the story than not so true?
Well, I mean, you know, from my point of view, they're all true. So I think it would have to take, you know, Mark would read it and see certain scenes that he'd say, oh, I don't think this is how it happened. And Eduardo would see certain scenes and say, no, this isn't how it happened. And different people would have different opinions. But, you know, that's the other thing. There's different points of view. So just like when you read a court document, you're going to have Eduardo saying, no, Mark's lying. And you're going to have Mark saying, no, Eduardo's lying. So what's the truth? You know, who knows? There's two different points of view. So I feel very strongly that there really aren't chapters, you know, and I'm also very clear in the book. When I reach a scene in the book where there are multiple points of view, I say, this is what probably happened here. And, you know, you can read it right like that. And the opening of the book has, you know, the author's note where I explain exactly, you know, how I do my work. So, no, I don't specifically see any chapters in the book where I think it's less accurate than another chapter.
And it's how you respect everybody's side of the story that's admirable in your work and writing. You respect everybody's side of the story.
Right. I mean, I think that's the key. You know, obviously Mark's going to read the book and say, no, no, no. But, you know, that's just his point of view. And I think the key here is that there isn't just one point of view. There's multiple.
No.
So, you know, I think it's up to the people reading it to decide what they think the story is. I mean, who created Facebook? Did Mark steal Facebook? You know, I don't think he did steal Facebook, but that's just my opinion. And you'll read the story and then have to make that decision yourself.
Do you think that had Mark Zuckerberg and Eduardo both had stable relationships at college, Facebook would have ever happened?
No. And, you know, I truly don't believe that, you know, because I think that part of what drove Facebook was this determination. You know, Mark was a very determined person, and he built this company to show what he could do, to do something cool, but also because he was an outsider. You know, he was a kid who was socially awkward, who was not in one of the finals clubs, these kind of fraternal organizations. He had trouble sort of, you know, building this a regular, normal social life. And I think that if these guys were getting girls and living that lifestyle that, you know, you know some college kids get to, there wouldn't be that impetus. There wouldn't be that drive to build this company. So, no, I don't think it would be the same. I think it's ironic that you have socially awkward kids building this massive social network. But, you know, I think that's where it comes from. And a lot of great art comes from the inability to get laid, really. I mean, a lot of great art comes from that need to sort of build a social life that you don't have.
Because I saw an interview with Mark Zuckerberg on TV. I think it's now a notorious interview. But everything you said, really, and the things you say in the book, and the things you portray, I should say, in the book, would resound with his reaction to being on live TV, his reaction to other humans, basically, right, within the interview. Biological processes happening he couldn't control, sweat dripping from his face, having to remove clothes. He was so nervous by the whole situation. So I feel that there's some evidence there. Now, a question that I'm sure is resounding in the ears of many of our listeners at the moment is, why on earth would a book about such a neutral, pro-social website such as Facebook be in any way controversial?
Well, you know, it started, first of all, with a college prank. I mean, a lot of people don't know the history, and now they're learning it, but it was Mark Zuckerberg late one night. He'd been dumped by a girl. He was angry. He felt betrayed, and he was blogging as he did this hack, where he hacked into all the computers at Harvard. He pulled up pictures of every girl on campus, and he made a website where you could vote on who the hottest girl was. And he slipped it out, you know, it emailed it out, and ended up crashing all of Harvard's computers. And that's where Facebook really started. It was a college prank that was, you know, somewhat misogynistic to some people. It upset a lot of people. And from there, that's where the drama starts. And then you have this other drama between these two best friends, Mark and Eduardo, who are no longer speaking, you know, who ended up suing each other in a massive court battle. And then you have these other characters, the Winklevoss twins, who are these good-looking 6'5" Olympic rowers. They were like the cool kids on campus, and they had hired Mark to help them with a website, and Mark had essentially blown them off and launched Facebook, so they claimed he stole it. So you have all these dramatic themes. It all took place in 1 year at college, and it was just incredible. I mean, you have people really at each other's throats from the very beginning.
Mm. What facts about this book, then, if we're assuming, and like you said, everything is a fact in this book, what facts rumbled Zuckerberg and Facebook more than any other fact within this book? What were some of the things that you know of really upset and disturbed the Facebook?
Well, they don't like anybody talking about the Winklevosses at all, first of all. They don't like the story of these, you know, 6'5" Olympic identical twins being out there. Mm-hmm. It's not an issue with the fact of the Winklevosses. It's just that this is a story they don't want told. They don't feel it's relevant to Facebook's launching because they paid these guys off. These guys received a settlement, and supposedly it was $65 million. To essentially go away, but the Winklevosses are very upset, and they kept, you know, they don't want to go away. They feel like they deserve more. In terms of Eduardo, I think from Mark's point of view, Eduardo was not as important as Eduardo thinks he was. On the other hand, when this book was being written and it leaked out that it was being written, there was a big settlement agreement, and nobody knows how much it is, but Eduardo has been now reinstated as co-founder of the company, which I think gives a lot of legitimacy to the story. So, you know, I haven't actually heard any specific facts that Facebook has had a problem with. They've simply just said blanket, you know, it's not true. So, you know, it's hard to point to anything.
Are you aware of what the twins are doing today? What
they're... Yeah, they're practicing. They're going to row in the London Olympics. That's their goal right now. They had rowed in Beijing. And they're still trying to reopen their lawsuit. They don't want the $65 million. They want much more. And they're, you know, they're using the movie and the book to sort of get a lot of more attention to what they claim. And, you know, they're interesting guys. You know, when you meet them, you think these are going to be the bad guys because they're the 6'5", blonde, good-looking, kind of Aryan Nation-looking guys. But from their point of view, they're not the bad guys. They're the good guys. It's a very interesting dynamic when you have... They represent this old-world aristocracy that we don't have that much of in the United States. And Mark is the new kind of hacker generation coming up against them. And so it's hard to say who the good guy and who the bad guy is.
So it's obviously not ironic that there's a scene in the movie where they're rowing in London.
Yeah, no, they've rowed in Henley, and that was a big scene for them because that was when they started to realize that Facebook, you know, was becoming a much bigger thing than just something on the college campus. From there, you know, they are major rowers. And I actually read an article recently that said, well, their focus was always rowing, and Mark's focus was Facebook, so it seems unfair that, you know, he had to pay them off. But, you know, it's hard to say who's right and who's wrong. But, yeah, they are big-time rowers, and they'll be rowing in England, yeah.
I mean, that was definitely a scene that spoke volumes to me, as in it was metaphorically almost saying who's winning a race. And, of course, at the end, they don't win the race.
Right. I agree. I think David Fincher did a brilliant job. I think that's my favorite scene in the movie in terms of how it was shot. It was spectacular. But it really is. I mean, and that kind of brought out the whole old world versus new world kind of thing, too. You know, you have, I think it was Prince Albert, you have the aristocracy there. You have this kind of really kind of, you know, many hundreds of years old kind of legacy. And then you have a kid like Mark who's just winning, you know, he's winning that point. So, yeah.
It's an incredible story. Let's talk more about the movie and how it translates to your book visually. Is there a particular scene that spoke to you more so than any other scene, aside from the scene we just spoke, of course?
Yeah, I think you get a lot of the thrill of, you know, what was great about the movie, in my opinion, it's not a bunch of kids sitting around punching away at computers. You know, it didn't even have to really be about Facebook the way they made the movie. It was more about these characters, you know, battling in a very intense way. In terms of sort of directly the book to the movie, you know, there's a lot of scenes I really liked. I thought I don't want to give too much away, but the Sean Parker scene with the cocaine and the girls, I think it was a very interesting and very well shot scene, and it is directly from the book in a lot of ways. I think, you know, when the opening scene of the movie, I think, is amazing, and that wasn't from the book, and that was, you know, a true Aaron Sorkin kind of scene, but the dialogue is just spectacular. But yeah, there's a lot. I mean, you know, I've watched it 6 times now, and each time I've found something new to like.
I'm guessing it's nothing that you would change about the movie then.
No, personally, I was blown away, you know, and I actually think this movie's going to win Oscars. I think it's going to be nominated in a lot of categories. I think the performances are spectacular. I think Justin Timberlake really blew me away. I didn't know what to expect. I'd seen him in a couple things, but you know, he's this huge rock star, so the idea that he could play a character like this, but you know, he fit perfectly, and I think there's a great scene in a club where they're talking and the music is just getting louder and louder, and it's just a really amazing scene. I think Timberlake was great, so I think people are going to like it a lot.
Absolutely. Right, let's think about some listener questions in a moment, but let me ask you this before we get to some of the questions we've had in from people knowing you're on tonight. What about the aftermath now for you, if we use that quite dramatic phrase? I mean, Facebook is one of the world's most powerful forces. I mean, do you fear for your own safety at all, Ben? Does
no.
it go that
you
far?
Know, I honestly think that Facebook, when they look at what's happened with this movie and the amount of attention Facebook has gotten, it's not a negative, you know? In these weeks, more and more people have been joining Facebook. This hasn't hurt them in any way. In fact, it's probably raised their profile and their value. I think that Facebook is becoming, you know, it's on the cover of every newspaper in the country or in the world every day. Over the past couple of weeks, you know, it's been the entire New York Times business section and the entire Wall Street Journal business section. And that wouldn't have happened without this movie or this book. I think that, you know, I don't think it's been a bad thing for them. And in the end, I think if Mark actually read the book, he wouldn't find it a negative portrayal at all.
Mm. Okay, excellent. Let's get to some listener questions then. One or two interesting questions have been sent through to us tonight. Have you been requested since by any Hollywood directors to use your book for a new movie?
Yes, I've actually got about 5 projects in production or pre-production. Kevin Spacey has been sort of one of my first readers, and Kevin and his company have been sort of working with a couple of my books, and I have a new book that's about to sort of leak out in Hollywood, and we've got a lot of, you know, interest. But yeah, I mean, this is the second one, and I think I'm the only nonfiction author with 2 number one Hollywood movies, so there's been a lot of attention in the last couple of weeks of people just looking for more of my projects. But yeah, it's good. It's you know, I've been fortunate in that respect.
Another question then, why Facebook and not MySpace? Doesn't MySpace interest you, says one listener?
You know, it really wasn't about, you know, I didn't even know anything about Facebook or MySpace or any of these things. It was really this kid emailing me out of the blue, and when I saw this drama, there were these Shakespearean themes here. I mean, these were, you know, best friends torn apart, plus I wanted to write about Harvard because it's a strange hierarchical, you know, it's a place that doesn't exist really in America other than at Harvard. And I thought that, you know, there was a great story there. With MySpace, I don't know anything about it. I don't know if there's a story. So it wasn't really just that it was Facebook. It was really, you know, these college kids. And the thing is, when I started the book in 2008, I remember, you know, talking to Kevin Spacey and saying, you know, I want to do this project about Facebook. And the first thing people were saying and were like, really, you know, is anybody going to be really interested in that? Because it doesn't sound interesting when you just say Facebook. But it was these themes and it was this drama that drove me to it. So no MySpace, no Twitter for me, I don't think.
Oh, excellent. Another question then, were you one of the many people using Napster illegally when it first hit the net?
No, you know, I wasn't. I'm behind the times. I'm not that internet savvy. So I'm really, you know, I was one of the people still buying CDs until, you know, this week pretty much. So I'm way behind in the times. I've pretty much bought everything that I've used.
What sites does Ben Mesrick check when he surfs the web was another question.
You know, I go on Facebook. I definitely do. I Google News all the time, which is where I find my news. And, you know, I like gossip pages and New York Post, and there's some interesting ones, Deadline.com, which is a Hollywood one. But, you know, I'm just like everyone else, I think. You know, nothing special.
And another question from some of our listeners has been about this with regards to Facebook. Is it true that I don't know if you know the answer. Is it true that Facebook track everything we do and are linked to the Illuminati?
That I know nothing about. I mean, I don't know anything about that at all. I think that Facebook has a lot of information at their hands. If you think about how much information is on Facebook, it's pretty spectacular. But I don't know anything about that.
No, okay. And of course, then, final question. Janet asks, when are you going to do a book and a story on Conspiracy Radio?
I don't know. Is there something I should write about, or am I allowed to write about it? I don't know. But I'd have to look into it.
Yeah, absolutely. Any last words for Zuckerberg if he's listening tonight to this interview?
I think that Mark should read the book and let me know what he thinks. And I think deep down, he, you know, if he read it without his people around him and his slacks telling him what to say, he would actually read it and say, you know, it was a pretty good story.
And a final question for myself. What do you think the chances of this interview surviving when we post it all over Facebook, all over our pages and groups, etc.? Do you think it's going to have longevity, or is this a suicide for all our Facebook presence?
I think hopefully it'll stay up. They haven't kicked me off Facebook yet, so I don't know. I think they're going to stand back and just, you know, try not to act in a weird way. But no, I think it'll make it. I think it'll survive.
Excellent. Now, where can people buy the book? Is it just all the regular outlets, Amazon, etc.?
Yeah, it's everywhere. You can also go to benmesrick.com, which is my website. But it's all over. Amazon is a great place to get it.
All right, excellent. And of course, the name of the book is, of course, The Accident Millionaires. Listen, Ben Mesrick, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for your time. I wish you all the best, and I look forward to your next novel.
Thank you. Anytime.
All right, excellent. It's Ben Mesrick. Then it's the Friday Night Live Show. It's Conspiracy Worldwide Radio.